Welcome to Double Burst, a podcast about Dice Masters. We are a group of Utah players that want to bring you the latest Dice Masters news, strategies, tips, and more. Whether you're a new or seasoned player, we hope this show has something for you. I'm KT Data, one of your hosts, and welcome to episode 12. In this episode, Steve and I introduce a brand new segment, The 11th Card. Russ and Alex are going to be talking about character removal, and we finish it all up with a roundtable discussion on sets we'd like to see in Dice Masters. So let's kick it off with our newest segment, The 11th Card. Okay, guys, we are actually here with Steve. How you doing, Steve?
Doing well.
I'm excited because Steve came up with an awesome idea for a new segment, and it may sound a little familiar, but it is. I honestly think this is a little bit different than what we have, and we're calling it The 11th Card.
Yeah, we all know that you have 10 cards in the deck, but there's always, when you build a deck, there's always a card you go, God, why can't I fit that one in there?
It's like, oh, why?
Why can't I, you know, that one would work perfect, but then I'd have 11 cards.
Yeah. And I do know some of you guys are at home and like, wait. There's 8 characters, but there are also 2 basic actions.
Yeah, and it would include basic actions in this, too.
Yeah, if we lived in a world where we could magically just change all the whisked rules.
Yeah, that's what we'd do.
We would add the appropriate slot. So where we want to go is...
Well, these cards are going to be, they're going to be well-known. I mean, everybody pretty much knows them. I mean, maybe the newer players won't, but everybody will pretty much know which is which.
So
yeah,
this week we decided to pick the super rare Lantern Battery, which is from the War Light set.
Yeah. and it's
the super rare, of course. It's a 4 cost mask. It's Lantern Battery power source, and the card text goes, continuous while active, your opponent may pay 1 life per character to block, and in parentheses, no matter how many Lantern Battery dice you have in the field zone.
Yeah, and this card was actually playable a year ago when there was a lot less of a card pool out there.
I've personally tried to play it a little bit, but it always, like our theme, it always didn't make the cut because it was just
exactly.
Like, it's kind of a little too win more instead of kind of helping my win condition.
Uh-huh. Exactly. The reason that this doesn't make it is, one is because it's an action and a lot of people are afraid to include actions, more than one action. Mm-hmm. And there are better actions out there than this.
Because you compare Lantern Battery versus Lantern Ring, which one would you rather have?
I'd definitely do the ring, yeah. But the Lantern Battery is good. It's a very good card. The other thing is it will tend to slow your deck down. So if you're looking to do quick turn kills, this is not the card for you.
It won't fit. But it does fit into more of that kind of aggro type of field.
So yeah, not quite
quick, but you still want to keep punching and keeping pressure on your opponent.
Exactly. So the first question is, well, how do we make it fit? I guess that's the only question. But so what ideas? Well, first of all, this card is going to be dynamite with Overcrush, with any kind of Overcrush character or adding on to the Overcrush, because your opponent's probably not going to have something with a 6 or 7 defense. They're going to have to use 1 or 2 die.
So that's 2 extra damage, and maybe that's not even enough to stop the Overcrush.
Exactly.
Then they have to either play the game on, do I let it through and take the full damage?
Exactly.
Or do I have to go with this? And I don't think those are good. Either way, it's not a good
It's not a good option. This card would work well with Cheetah. The Cheetah, that she deals 1 damage whenever she's attacked. Your opponent automatically, without the battery being on there, they're going to take 1 damage. And they have to decide, am I going to stop this and let it go to the use pile and take the 3 damage or whatever her max attack is? Or am I going to block it so that it might be around next turn to do it again? You got the Lantern Battery. Now they've got a bigger choice to make. Am I going to take 2 damage from this each time? Now, the card that I was really excited about is the Silver Sable Common, which comes in the starter pack. And it says when Silver Sable attacks and it's blocked, she deals your opponent 1 damage and you gain 1 life.
Yeah. And it's not even damage. It says loses 1 life.
It loses
so,
1
so
life.
You can't, it doesn't even trigger Hulk or any kind of those attacks.
No, it doesn't. So You know, they're going to take two life because Silver Sable, you know, as a three or a four, they're going to have to block her.
And that's the funny thing I find actually about the Silver Sable is everybody thinks about the common where you can just...
Oh, sacrifice
her. Sacrifice and it makes her unblockable. But some of her other cards are actually kind of useful.
Yeah, they're very useful. And again, the Lantern Battery will work well with on a Black Widow or a Guy Gardner team. If you want to slow those teams down a little bit, I mean, with Black Widow, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. they're risking taking three life each time Black Widow that attacks.
Yeah, that's a lot of, and it adds up since you only have 20 life.
Uh-huh.
And so, one thing I wanted to ask you about is, so why does this end up being the 11th card? Why does it usually end up getting cut out?
Well, like I say, it's an action. So a lot of people are hesitant about it.
Especially
actions.
At a four-cost action.
And a four-cost action.
So if, say, you wanted to make it work with Silver Sable, you're going to, that's at least two turns, and uh-huh. hopefully you roll the mask, because mm-hmm. that never happens when I need it to roll the mask.
Yeah. and if you want to reduce it, then you've got to put something that will reduce the cost on that deck. Now, that's usually not a problem because a lot of people play Blue Eyes or Red Dragon or mm-hmm. something like that. But
it still adds that extra
piece to it that you could throw in something, you know, just as good and maybe a better. But if you're looking more for a control type team, this is a really good card to throw in.
Yeah, I can see this kind of fitting in more of a medium pace team. So not like your super, super long control teams, even though it may help at that point.
Yeah.
But not in your super fast. But that point where you are almost going back and forth with your opponent, and this could be that one card that puts you over the hump to win it.
Exactly. So we would encourage people out there to look again into this and seeing if you can fit it into your deck.
Yeah.
Like I said, these are the 11th cards, so...
Yeah, and anything else about the Lantern Battery or you want to mention?
Just one of the reasons is it can slow decks down. Mm-hmm. Again, the extra purchase cost. It could fit into many types. It wouldn't really work on a weenie deck, but it could fit into a lot. Mm-hmm.
All right, Steve, thank you for kind of suggesting this, because I think this is kind of fun since I know myself, I've been in situations, crap, I got I got 11 cards. I wish I could use that extra basic action or I could put that extra character in.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys listening at home, let us know which cards do you often come up with that where you're like, oh, this would work so well in my team, but I need everything else in here.
Yeah, please let us know, because we would love to discuss those and try them out, because we actually try out some of these ideas. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can reach us at doubleburst@ktdata.net or on Facebook, facebook.com/doubleburst. Okay, Steve, thank you so much, and we will see you a little bit later on the show where we live out our dreams.
All right.
All right, guys, we are back with Alex and the KO King. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I'm glad, and hopefully your sister had fun on our last episode.
She did. She said she didn't like her voice on it, but that's fine.
Yeah, no one likes her voice. But if you guys haven't heard it, make sure you go check out episode 11. Awesome segment. But we didn't want to talk about that. We actually wanted to talk about a topic that comes up, and some of us may take it for granted, or it might just be a conundrum, is how to clear the board.
I think it's an important part of the game, especially if you get... There are certain people, Dr. J is a good example, that like to build a wall. So I think it's an important aspect.
Wait. Are you saying you don't build a wall?
I try not to, unless I'm emptying my bag of sidekicks. So... I mean, I get accused of it.
But obviously this is a common problem, and I know it's a common problem with new players too, where they'll just like, I'll field all my characters, and you're just going eight sidekicks versus eight sidekicks, and the match will go on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, your sister was asking about when do I attack, and yeah, you need to clear the board before you attack to get your win con most of the time. So
yeah, there's times in a game where you're going to want to remove characters from your opponent's field to allow you to do certain things. Constantine, Hulk, Babs, some of those things that we're going to talk about. But if they're in my opponent's field, I want to get rid of them. So how do we do that? What are some options to do that? And, you know, there's some new keywords and newer sets mm-hmm. that allow us to do that. So we just wanted to chat and and kind of explore the different ways to remove characters.
And it seems like a simple thing, right? To clear your opponent's field. But if we've discovered anything, this game has multiple ways of it. So how are you guys organizing these different sets of field removal?
You know, it kind of depends on what your team is built around. I like to play Guy Gardner, so sue me. He benefits most from an entire board clear. Some teams, you just need one guy to go through, so you build around a targeted removal. Other teams, you're just strong enough to swing in and KO everything. So there's definitely, depending on how you build your team, is the removal that you're going to choose.
Yeah, and there are two basic types. I think if you want to break it down, you have the targeted removal, which the style of play I have, I like to do. I think you'd consider Scarecrow a targeted removal because I can remove it from the field. And then you have just a full board wipe. There aren't as many options in that. But one thing, if you're going to play targeted removal, if you put if your opponent plays the uncommon Ring of Magnetism from Yu-Gi-Oh! And puts that on the
Common Wonder Girl from Warlight.
Right, you have the Wonder Ring, and you know, that turns my competitive team into simply an attack phase team where all I can do is combat damage. I have enough that I can still get out of that, but if that Wonder Ring combo comes up, then my team's turned into pretty much just a ability to just attack and do combat damage.
So what are some examples of, let's start with targeted removal. What are kind of examples of targeted? You've mentioned Scarecrow, and this actually, you may be helping your opponents now. How can we remove your Scarecrow without us triggering its effects?
Well, I think that's one reason I love Scarecrow, is that the only way to get around Scarecrow is to not knock him out.
Yeah, so something that would do that would be like the 5-cost Storm, where you get to reroll two characters, and if it shows up on energy, it goes to the use pile, which is a nice removal because then it goes to the use pile and not the prep. You also haven't KO'd it. It's been rerolled. So that's a great defense against something like Scarecrow that has a when KO'd ability.
Intimidate from the newer sets. I can't remember.
Punisher has an ability that can give other characters.
Yeah, Punisher, the uncommon Punisher from Civil War is actually great. It was great for me in drafts with this board clear. If you have a bunch of cheap characters, you filled him, and then every subsequent character is just removed from the field, which can eliminate a lot of those abilities, right? So if my opponent has something that has an ability in the field, I just remove it for that turn so I can attack and win.
Yeah, She-Hulk also has Intimidate, and she removes Intimidate from other people while active. So that's like the defense and the attack in one card.
Yeah. So those things that roll characters when they're fielded, I think, is a great ability. You have Umber Hulk.
The
first D&D set, where it's level 1 and 2 characters. So you can wipe out everything, which is great.
Which is great, especially if they're walling up with sidekicks. Because more than likely, you're going to get rid of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I play Diego or anyone that's running those reroll characters, I know I'm not going to roll them. So I just plan on taking a lot of damage and possibly losing the game. And then Kenneth, I think it was WKO or PDC, ran the Lantern Ring with Apocalypse, which was an amazing combo because that rerolls everything. So what he'd do is he'd have a whole... that. Rolls both of our sides.
So Apocalypse's ability is once Apocalypse fielded.
This is the promo Apocalypse, a 7 cost.
You roll every character on both sides, so your opponent's and yours.
Except
for Apocalypse. And for everyone that doesn't roll a character face on your opponent's side, he takes damage for it. I believe it's two each.
Damage.
Yeah, 2 damage each. So that starts adding up. And the ruling for that is those energies will go to your reserve pool because they're not a valid target in the field zone anymore, which is great for Kenneth if he's running the ring because more energy for his ring to trigger off.
Right, so he would field Apocalypse, maybe 1 or 2 characters after if he had them, but then all those characters that he didn't roll that had bolts, those were part of the ring. It was the attack, and he'd pretty much win there a lot. So we all know he likes his ring.
Okay. So we've kind of talked about a little bit of the characters. Do we have any basic actions that do a similar thing?
Yeah, there's definitely some good basic actions out there. The most obvious one is imprisoned. That captures everything.
And it's becoming really popular.
Yeah, it's really popular with the bard teams. But it's also kind of the answer to the bard team because it gets rid of the cheap fielding cost. It's anything up to 2 fielding costs total. So every sidekick, everything that's 0 gets captured by that and definitely wins games. Two of the ones that I like are out of the D&D set, the Fireball and Delayed Blast Fireball. Delayed Blast Fireball is one of my favorite board clears to see. I can never seem to use it, but it's a good one to see because it clears your board. It clears your opponent's board on your opponent's turn, which is really important because then they can't attack.
Yeah, and I love this. So if you actually ever play against this, if you see your opponent buying one, do whatever it takes for that next turn for you to buy one right after them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And hopefully with that, how that works is they'll play theirs, they'll blow up all their entire field. When it's your turn, you play yours, and that will clear out the field, and the math works out where you'll have the turn where you can field characters and attack an open field
if absolutely. It
blows everything up.
Yeah, and then the regular Fireball, also from D&D, does 2 damage to every character on the board and to each opponent. So it's basically Breath Weapon, but to everything. And a lot of cheaper teams, you know, with the Guy Gardner teams, you play that, and then you field all your Guy Gardners. You've cleared most of the cheaper characters, all the sidekicks out. So that's another good removal tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think Cloud Kill is a good one. It's
always a good way to get rid of sidekick walls.
Right. Yeah, it's not technically removal, but it definitely...
It also removes
sidekicks. Yeah, yeah.
And especially if they don't have that energy, it's almost as good as removed.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's definitely a card that I wanted to talk about on this, but it's like not technically removal, but it's essentially yeah. removal.
And then you have Millennium Rod, Millennium Puzzle.
Which, strangely enough, has fallen a little bit out of favor because I used to see Puzzle on... lots more teams now where you don't see it as often anymore.
Yeah. I think just because of what I like to do, I like Millennium Puzzle Rod a little bit better where I can take a control of their character. And actually, I know Dr. J.
I have to ask, how many characters have you like taken control in just one turn before? I'm like the maximum.
I know he's taken control of like 3 of mine.
I can't remember. I think it's 3 or 4. So
that's ridiculous, man.
Yeah. It's really cool, though, when you take control of like a patch and a Hulk from your opponent, because then pretty much it's game over. But you have the Millennium Rod when you take control. And I know Dr. Jay's planning on this with the new Global coming out with the shield to move it over when you purchase. If you pair the Millennium Rod or Puzzle up with Thousand Dragon and that Global, you can have Millennium Rod in your prep area turn 1 because you can use that Global twice, then purchase a 5 for 1, and then you move it over. So those are good ways for removal. Then you have cheaper options, too. You have Psylocke, the Quanian Assassin.
Mm-hmm. Where you pay 2 masks to remove a character.
When she's fielded, when right? She's fielded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the... Isn't there a 2-cost Storm that does... Or 3-cost Storm?
Most of the Storms from AVX are just great removal in general.
Storm from AVX is just a great card. If you're a new player and don't have it, I encourage you to get the AVX starter. And her and Beast alone make it... Her and Beast alone made that purchase for me worth it because all the storms are great, and then you have the promo and the other things that come with her. But Psylocke, it's not as great as it sounds because it's a 2-cost, but you have to pay the 2 mass, and at times it's pretty expensive.
That
it's
means hard you could be killing your ramp at that turn.
Right.
Yeah. Have we talked about Green Goliath yet?
Or both of the... Hulks, actually.
Yeah, Jade Giant as well.
And Green Goliath.
Yeah, Jade Giant would probably get a lot more play if he didn't have this twin brother named Green Goliath.
Yeah, and so for all you guys who are not quite sure what the ability is, for Hulk, Jade Giant is while Hulk is active, when either you or Hulk takes damage, knock out one of your opponent's level 1 characters, or if it's on its burst side, which is its level 1 and 2, instead knock out 1 opposing character of any level, and Green Goliath... is when Hulk is active, whether you or Hulk takes damage, Hulk deals 2 damage to each opposing character, or on the burst side, 3 damage instead, which is just devastating for a lot of teams if you can get them out really early.
Yeah, and I will say, and this is kind of why I haven't played Hulk much, or I don't see Hulk much in competitive for me, is the Rarecrow, which I know everybody thinks, well, they do know I love. As soon as that's in the field, it isolates Hulk, because if my opponent fields their Hulk, I am going to ping their Hulk, which is, I know, unheard of, but if that happens, I take control of their Hulk and I can clear their board. So the other thing is, we don't need the ping of the magic missile like we used to with these Hulks. There's a lot of different options out there that deal you damage. You have Luke Cage's global. You have the two-cost Rocket Raccoon. When attacks, you take damage. So you attack, Hulk takes damage, wipe your opponent's field, and then you can go through. So there's other options that don't open up that global for my opponent all the time.
Now, I think the last thing we're missing, too, on this removal topic is the force block and force attack globals. And those are really, really key globals for removal.
You'll hear Mr. Fantastic paraded a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a harder to find card because it's from Avengers versus X-Men, but there's both a 3-cost and a 5-cost, and most people like playing the 5-cost one for his global only, because then Z-Mags and other things cannot blank him.
Yeah. I know Kevin uses this against me a lot every time I field my Lex Luthor to make his stuff more expensive. He's like, force attack. Oh, yeah, hey. I'll take 1 attack.
Can I add, most of the time you bring that global for me to use.
Hey, don't tell people that.
It's a great thing to get rid of a Constantine or anything. If anything's going to be 1 or 2 attack and I can force myself to take that, especially if I have a way around it, I'm getting those characters out of the field, clogging up my opponent's bag while I'm getting rid of that pain in the butt.
And some people may be like, well, I'm taking damage, but the archetype for control characters that force you to do things is usually small attack, really big defense. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take 1 or 2, but is that worth it to make your life
early
better?
Early game, 1 or 2 is nothing.
Yeah, you know? Which goes along with Deadpool, which is another one we were going to talk about. He has like a 3
attack.
I'm
pretty sure Kenneth would have killed us if we didn't mention that.
Yeah, he likes Deadpool, I think. He's a 3 attack, 7 defense, and whatever is blocked, you can force something to block him, and whatever he blocks or is blocking him is KO'd at the end of turn. It's harder to get rid of him, so you can just force things to block him and knock him out.
Yeah, the Poison Ivy also from World's Finest had
Poison Ivy and Gamora.
They and both Gamora
have similar abilities where if it does damage, they're going to get KO'd no matter what.
And breath weapons fall into this too. Those get overlooked. I keep playing with a lot of things to do with dragons and breath weapon. I've been pairing it lately with feedback, which means anything I breath weapon and knock out, my opponent's taking 1 damage, plus it's clearing their field. So that's a lot of fun to play with too.
Okay, gents, do you guys have anything else to talk about board clear?
I just want to throw out, because I believe, and Dr. J and I have talked about this, that the Daredevil from Ultron, the rare, says when fielded, remove or KO a mass character. I believe that card right there is going to get better with the new set. If my opponent has Sinestro, White Lantern out, that's my removal for Sinestro right there, because he... at least now, the way everybody seems to be wanting to play it, is it's a mass character. So those dual energies are going to open up some other cards, and I think that Daredevil's a good one.
Yeah, and I mean, board clear is important to have on almost every team, so you should definitely be out there looking at what you want to use for a board clear, what your style of play is, and what fits best on your team. And, you know, if you have any questions about board clear, like, ask us. We can name off ours. If you have any suggestions, we always like playing new combos and stuff, and
we know we're missing some.
Yeah, exactly.
We might be missing some. And
I love Babs. We didn't talk much about Babs, but there's just so many that it's hard to talk about. So we're talking more about theories behind it. You want either targeted or like full board wipe, reroll type stuff.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to shoot us an email, send us an email, doubleburst@ktdata.net, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. Alex or the Brown Messiah will probably respond very quickly. And when we mentioned board clear, the Brown Messiah just went, oh, this is, and we're like, that's a lot.
Yeah, he basically wrote this segment for us. We didn't have to do much work because we started talking about it, and he was like, these are the ones I want you to make sure to mention. And it was everyone in the game. So we love the Brown Messiah. And if you hit us up on Facebook, I guarantee you me or the Brown Messiah will answer you in moments because we have no life. Not really. We love talking to you on Facebook. That's the answer.
Okay, guys. I will see all of you in a second with Steve and Kenneth to talk about a topic that comes up a lot in the Dice Masters community.
I'm so excited about this one.
Okay, we are back with the KO King, Alex, Steve, and Kenneth. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
What's up?
Hey.
And we've been playing Dice Masters for a while, and this topic comes up once in a while, which is sets we would like to see in the Dice Masters world. So we're talking about some of the comic lines that they may have not covered, but we're opening the doors to everything. In a world where there was no such thing as like trademark and IP arrangements,
this is where you get to see us all fangirl. Yeah.
Alex, are you going to start with a My Little Pony set?
I would buy a My Little Pony set, especially now that we have foils. Those things would look so good.
You make a good point, but they'd have to make a Care Bear one too, because I think that would be awesome.
I'd
be so down with a Care Bear set.
I'm going to flower power your Deadpool to death.
We are really starting at the bottom here.
So, but for real, my set that I really would like to have is, I'm a bit of a video game nerd. I'd love some Final Fantasy action.
Ooh.
Cloud Strife against Sephiroth.
Just, his sword could just be an action die.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, man, the possibilities throughout, some great Sids as supporting characters and just great, great characters and all kinds of abilities and all kinds of awesome artwork. I think that would be one of the great sets.
Yeah, what would be kind of an example ability you'd want in a card?
I mean, any of the sword-wielding characters, you could have the Cleave.
Oh, I would love them to put Cleave. Makes so much sense.
Cleave. Exactly. Cleave needs to be on more cards. That needs to happen. So anything with a sword should have Cleave. You could have Aerith as your healing character. You could have Barret as your overcrushing character.
Could the KO King KO?
I'm mostly thinking Final Fantasy VII because that's the one that I adore the most.
So without saying spoilers, are you thinking of the same character that would be KO'd for an ability that the KO King would want to use?
I don't know what you're...
She may die in it.
She's the healer. She would be your white mage, so she would do your life gain. But she could be a when KO'd.
Yeah, when KO'd, and then
gained half your life.
Then the KO King would just enjoy doing that over and over, and fans of all over the world will be like, "You cruel man."
I could get behind that.
Okay, Russ. So, what's a set you would like? And I'm gonna go take a nap now. So, see you guys when he's done.
Mine's pretty simple. Either Image or independent comics. Specifically, I would love a Robert Kirkman set, which would include Walking Dead, Outcast, the greatest comic book, and I will argue anywhere, is Invincible. If you don't read it, it's great. And The Astonishing Wolfman, all these Robert Kirkman titles that would have a bunch of great characters. Like I said, I love Invincible, if that universe could be introduced. And then, of course, Walking Dead. I'm a Walking Dead freak, too. So for me, it would just be a Robert Kirkman in Image comics, include all Image, maybe Spawn. And those kind of things would be a lot of fun. So
for The Walking Dead, have swarming zombies.
Yeah. Michonne would just be a massive board clear, decapitate everything.
Right?
So
can we at least get a Carl one? So like every game I'll be like, Carl, get in the bag.
That's his ability. Carl's purchase, go straight to the bag.
Now, Carl lately is not bad, but Carl would probably be that character like Bucky in Age of Ultron. Like just that card that is lame.
That you use the dice for a life counter because that's what it's good for.
Yeah. Oh, that's a cool life counter. So, it's Carl.
Yeah. So I think you could have a lot of fun with Walking Dead and like I said, all the Robert Kirkman stuff. Outsider has a new show, so that'd be great. And then you have Invincible. I will continue to push that. Invincible is amazing.
All right. So, Kenneth, I know you're already getting a dream set coming in like a month or two.
Yeah, Deadpool set. They're pretty much making that for me.
Send all your Deadpools to Kenneth. Just if you have extra, just send them. He'll take all of them.
Yeah,
Deadpool's the new Flash. I've got spoilers. That's what it says.
No, don't do that. Kenneth might kill somebody.
So on top of Deadpool, what would you have?
So my like ultimate dream set is from an old cartoon from the like late 80s, early 90s that I used to love when I was a little kid called Dino Riders.
Oh, that's so great.
So Dino Riders was about like two warring factions of aliens, one of which just looked like people, but I don't think they were called humans. They were called something else. And then the other race was there was guys that had like snake heads and bug heads and all kinds of weird like mutant guys. And they're warring through space, and they both kind of crash land on a planet filled with dinosaurs. And then they start capturing dinosaurs and weaponize them with, like, kits.
Do they ride them?
And they ride them. And there's lasers and armor and weapons attached to T-Rexes, and it is amazing.
I'm sold. Can I buy three?
yeah, give me two feeds right now.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a property that even is maintained or owned by anyone anymore, but that I think would be so cool. You could have like a mounting mechanic where you've got like a human character that can ride onto a dinosaur and buff both their stats. That's one that I've thought that would be a really cool mechanic that could be used in other sets also, but Dino Riders would be my ultimate fanboy set. It would be so awesome to have dinosaurs.
Okay, Steve the Sage, you've seen things, you've experienced things. What would you want as your dream set?
Archie comics.
No. I even though I think that would be hilarious, I'm like, Jughead's gonna swing in for the win.
Jughead. I'm gonna block Darkseid with Jughead. Anyway, no, the set I'd really love to see would be the Watchmen. I think you could do a lot of things.
Watchmen would be really cool.
And yeah, not to spoil things in the comics world, but Convergence? We can only hope, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, you could have a 7 or 8 cost Dr. Manhattan that just would be amazing. You could have a Rorschach that, you know, just beats up on everybody.
Now, I don't do HeroClix, but they have Watchmen and HeroClix, yeah, right? So,
and Watchmen have been making a bit of a comeback in the comics lately between Convergence, and they did a miniseries like a year or two ago of Before Watchmen about each of the individual characters.
There may be
that one could be something that could happen.
And Steve, so I'd have to ask you, would there be an action card of the Owl ship just shooting fire while it's awkwardly floating above the city with Leonard Cohen playing in the background?
They're
just the super rare version.
Yes.
There is a group trying to get this created, right?
Yeah. And so this is actually kind of what inspired us to talk about it. So shout out to the Gaming Swag guys. They really want to pitch Watchmen as a next Dice Master set. So thanks for the inspiration. And we kind of just wanted to expand it.
It could be just a limited set.
I think like Doctor Strange set would be cool. Although, I mean, I'm open for him opening it up, but I think it'd be cool, like a Watchmen type set, if they include 4 dice with each card. That would be cool.
Or do it like a TMNT set. They have about the right. I mean, basically exactly what the Gaming with Swag guys proposed.
I want a TMNT version of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
That would be
so
way cool.
Good.
Yeah.
Ramona Flowers.
Yeah. Do you guys not read Robert Kirkman? How am I not getting supported? Robert Kirkman, everything he writes is gold.
We are supporting you. We are supporting you.
We like it.
Hey, do you know what would be a really cool a character that they could make really good? And that would be the Flash.
Nah. Our dream set is upset with a good Flash.
I will say this, that I'm curious if they might look at doing some. I know He-Man is in the works with the movie. Maybe they break out some more 80s stuff. That'd be cool, just like an 80s. 1980s fanboys set.
Or think about like just retro arcade sets. You know, you have Pac-Man.
Yeah. There's a few video games that I'd love to see.
Yeah, Transformers maybe.
No, that would be the worst set. A Transformers set would be just silly.
You guys are horrible. You guys are horrible.
Honestly, I kind of want like an NHL set. Some hockey players.
So I don't watch hockey, so the only character or person I know is Gretzky. So would there be a Wayne Gretzky thing?
He would hit the field and win. He would be the Chuck Norris of that set.
Chuck Norris. There you go.
Chuck Norris team card. Pack with six Chuck Norrises.
And then I have a Bruce Lee team pack to go along with it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could do a WWE set.
Yeah, I really would love to see Mortal Kombat. I think would be awesome with all the fighting and the massive, massive roster of characters. They could do a lot of crazy stuff.
Finish
with that.
Him? Like you'd actually have to stand up and like do a dance.
Or I would.
Finish him.
I would think that like any character that had the like fatality ability, I would say if they KO someone, send that die back to the card. I feel like that would be a really good flavorful way to use fatalities. Another game I'd love to see represented would be Borderlands. I think that
Borderlands would be very I was going to say a lot of those like hero type shooters too.
Yeah.
Like Overwatch, Battleborn, even League or Dota, like maybe would be fun.
Yeah. Any game that has a lot of characters with good personalities could be really fun. That's why Borderlands and Mortal Kombat, like both of those just have rich, deep rosters with lots of personality.
Within current worlds, I'd love to see like more X-Force type stuff, more of those other Marvel like team affiliations, that kind of stuff.
They have done a Street Fighter's HeroClix before, so that could easily be an IP that they could get a hold of again, I would assume.
Now, I know nothing about this game, but I also didn't play a lot of D&D growing up. And I love what it brings to the game, so I don't know if Pathfinder would be something cool to bring.
Yeah, just bring in the worlds of kind of the other sets. Because I know Dragon Age, that I hear good things about that tabletop RPG, and on top of just the video games, which are amazing. I could see some really good things coming out of that. And the worlds of all these role-playing games. I'm not a big role player myself, because apparently I have no friends who role play, or I do, and now I'm just too busy.
I think it's the second answer, because I play every Tuesday night.
Yeah, but like I'd love to see these developed worlds bring it, get brought in.
I think it'd be great. I think we're. Don't get me wrong. I mean nothing. I love the sets currently. I love the sets coming out.
Steve and I were waiting for Warlight 2.
Right, but we've got Flash and Arrow coming out again. It's a repeat of a lot of characters. We have the Batman set on the docket for early next year, which is going to repeat a lot of characters, which is going to introduce cool abilities. But I think it's great when they would open up a new section, like a new world. I mean, the Turtles was great. Abilities sucked, but it was cool to have a lot of new characters added to the game.
So there is definitely one glaring hole in our conversation right now, and that is Star Wars.
That's true.
Or Trek.
Star Trek.
Star Wars or the Star Trek.
Star Wars isn't happening with that new game.
But that would be cool. Think about it. Like the TIE Fighters could do the swarming ability. Darth Vader could do some crazy overcrusher.
But you have to breathe like him when you play Darth Vader.
Any of the Jedis could capture. They could be the new Rare Crow. Yeah.
I'd love an action die of just Luke's hand.
So I could have like eight dice that do what Rare Crow does. I'm down. Let's do it.
Hey, what about a lightsaber basic action or action,
Yeah,
as kind of an equipment or something.
Yeah.
As long as there's no midichlorian basic action.
I would want a Qui-Gon Jinn, though, because he was cool.
I would absolutely play a Jar Jar Binks.
Super rare Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
He should be hard to get.
Super rare Jar Jar Binks subtitle, Sith Lord.
Right?
Think about it, guys. Think about it. And in the world of Star Trek, I'd love it where you have so much to go by because you have tons of series. You could just go straight TOS or
make it so
next generation. I'd love it if Will Riker's die was limited to just one.
Yeah, every card that has a red shirt on it is gonna be KO'd.
Just gets KO'd at the end of the turn.
The business side of this, I think it would bring in more players. We see what D&D does. It's a high selling set, and it brings other players that only want to play D&D, and occasionally we get them to come over and play other sets. I think opening up one of these other giant franchises to the game would only expand it and make it better.
Okay, so before we go, I want to ask from each of you guys, what would be the most outrageous set that they could come out with? Mine, Married with Children.
Mine would be James Bond.
James Bond would be excellent. Yeah. That would be fun. That would be outrageous. That was so, a Teletubbies team pack?
Sure, why not?
Something from the old Kiss comic book.
I have no idea. The Adventures of Gumball, just because I was talking about that earlier. I really like that comic. I like that cartoon.
Adventure Time would be a really fun set, too.
That would
Adventure
bring Time tons would be
way
of
cool.
Players.
And it would bring a ton of people.
But I'd want a bacon pancakes.
Yeah.
Action die or something.
Making bacon pancakes.
Speaking of pancakes, we should include a Hellboy set.
Oh, that would go along with the image.
If we can't have another movie, at least we'll have a Dice Master set.
Exactly.
Hellboy could fit right into that, like, other comic book set.
Somebody email Ron Perlman right now. Okay, guys, this was a fun segment. If you guys at home, let us know what series or what sets you would love to see, and, like, if, you know, make up a specific card or ability. I mean, I'm excited. I want to see more Cleave and everything now.
Yeah, dig into it. I mean, like, come up with new ideas, things that you'd like to see, characters. It would be really fun to hear everyone make a really strong case for whatever set they think it is. It's a chance for us to be even bigger fanboys than we already are.
And you could go any direction. I mean, I think King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table would be cool.
Game of Thrones could be fun. I mean, the list is so endless of so many things.
I don't know if we really want to go the My Little Pony route, but I'm just...
Hate mail?
Foils. Yeah. That's all you gotta... Yeah. Foil ponies.
Shiny! Shiny!
Pokemon?
Yeah.
I would buy every single Pokemon card there was if that happened. I'm a huge Pokemon fan.
Okay.
We should probably stop before we get carried away again.
Yeah. Before we just go on for 3 hours, guys. Thank you so much.
Which we probably will.
Yeah. You guys
have one more. Firefly.
Oh. So yeah, if you guys want to make those sets or just have ideas, let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst, or send us an email, doubleburst@ktdata.net. Guys, thank you so much. I wish we could fanboy forever and ever, but I'm pretty sure they'd kick us out.
Oh, we're going to keep doing it after we turn off this recording.
And that's it for this episode of the Double Burst Podcast. We would love to hear from you guys. Do you guys have an 11th card you want us to talk about? Or how about those sets that you want to see? Just send us an email at doubleburst@ktdata.net or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. And of course, if you missed out on anything, you can go back and check our show notes at doubleburst.com. Big thanks to Game Haven Sandy for giving us a place to record. If you live in Utah, make sure you stop by their store, or if you're not, check them online at yourgamehaven.com. Again, big thanks to you guys who are listening. If you haven't yet subscribed, so all these things just automatically show up. We're in iTunes everywhere. You name it, we're probably there. Thank you so much, guys. And until next time, may your dice rolls be ever in your favor.